Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's episode. Today I am interviewing my amazing and talented mother. As I'm editing this podcast, just re-listening to the interview, I just like started crying. Like, my mother has the most amazing heart for her animals. And so I'm really excited you guys to hear today's episode. So stay tuned. This is Claire Cumby. I am filming another episode. Today is Sunday, October 27th. I drove home this weekend to watch the Auburn game and see my horse and hang out with my mom, who's here with me. So today we're going to interview her, and she's going to share a little bit about her history, how she's involved with the horses, and how she helped me a little bit when I was growing up with horses, and how I got involved from her. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my amazing mother, who is a landowner, horse owner. She's a rider herself. She's a horse show mom. She is a director of the Area 4. Is that right? A director. She's on the Board of Governors for the American Connemara Pony Society. She has competed in both Western and English disciplines. Did you take lessons?
English.
She taught English lessons when she was growing up. And also comes from a line of riders, right? Because our family was member, of Bluegrass Hunt in Virginia. I feel like a lot of people don't know how involved you are, but they just see you as
some of the founding fathers of Bluegrass Hunt, according to aunts and uncles and grandparents.
Right. So today I'm going to quiz her. This is her first podcast episode ever. She asked me before we were recording if there were going to be pictures. And I was like, no, this is just a conversation. So I have a few questions that we can just get started with. Okay, so first I thought we would talk about your background. So before I came along, how you were and you had ponies growing up and taught lessons. So I know you taught, you took English riding lessons when you were growing up, right?
I did.
So what did you just see horses on the side of the road? Did your parents kind of ask, did they sign you up for riding lessons, or what got you involved, do you think?
Well, growing up in Auburn, we didn't have a lot of land to keep horses, but my daddy had a farm in Lafayette, which is about 30 minutes away. So every weekend and every summer, I spent at the farm with my grandmother and our ponies. I had a little Shetland pony named Doodle, and we had, I won't say a huge farm, but big enough that we could get lost. And we rode, my brother and I rode ponies every day till I guess we almost outgrew them. Always begging daddy for a horse and letting me have a horse in Auburn. And we were lucky enough when I turned 10 that daddy found a little farm maybe 10 minutes away from where we lived. And he rented it from our next door neighbor and bought my brother and I both two Tennessee walking horses. And so we began, just riding around the farm. And believe it or not, even at that time, downtown Auburn. We rode downtown a couple of times with some friends. It was a lot different world than it is now.
I can't imagine riding horses down in Auburn now.
But we did. I guess back then, our parents just kind of, like me, always with you. My parents just kind of turned us loose and said, y'all have fun. We'll see you this afternoon. So a lot different time.
Yeah. Okay. So then, and when you graduated, the earliest memories that I can have are you actually barrel racing. And I feel like we went to barrel races. And I was maybe 3 or 4. You remember?
Yeah, there were several of us that rode the circuit, the WPRA circuit in southeastern states. We went to Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Clemson.
So how did you go from having a Tennessee walking horse to... I know you went to rodeo camp in Texas.
I did. Jesse was, and still is, an icon in barrel racing, and I was privileged enough to purchase a horse from her, a little quarter horse, and she was very instrumental in training me and my horse, and We were very fortunate to be able to spend a couple weeks with her. And then I think I went to one or two of her camps with some friends and just sort of perfected or tried to perfect the technique. And we had, I won't say we were very successful. We were succeeding. We won a little bit of money and had a lot of fun. And I carried you everywhere we went.
I know. I remember riding in the truck with you. And, you know, kind of going back to that, obviously now you're a mother of a rider now. Did your parents have anything, were they supportive or have any kind of roll their eyes when you started going to horse shows every weekend when you had me? And, or do you think they were just, they knew that this is something that you were passionate about and were supportive?
Well, I think it was hard, you know, being a mom and having a little girl that I think you loved it too. I don't know if you remember taking your little rocking horse, and when we got the horses out to warm up, you'd get your rocking horse out and you know, you would warm up. When we were back at home, you had a pony and we would ride. And
yeah, I just felt like it was always something that I just did with you.
In the back of my mind, I was always warming my horse up and you were just along. But I think you were bitten or more smitten with it than I was. I think you took it to heart. And when with me, it was just something I did for fun. But
yeah.
With you, it was something, it was a passion. And it was a passion with you at an early age. With me, it was just something fun to do.
Yeah.
I don't think competing was ever my
goal. Yeah, that's what's going to ask me next. Like growing up to do.
Competing was just something I did with friends. And it was just something that I did on the side. It wasn't something that I was passionate about.
Yeah. So then obviously I came along and you started supporting my horse habit. So I think I started taking lessons in elementary school and then didn't really become involved with eventing probably until high school. You know, we didn't know a lot between us, about the sport of eventing. We just kind of took, I kind of mentioned one of the earlier podcasts, Alabama, it's not like eventing is a flourishing sport, so we would kind of go from clinic to clinic and learn as we went.
I think you did the hunter circuit for a while, but I think you were always loved the jumpers more. You did the hunt seed and equitation just so that you could go and do a jumper class or two.
Yeah,
and I think when it finally came down to it, you just realized that was your favorite thing, and you went with a friend. I think Randy took you, and you went.
Yeah, we went
across Bar de Vest and went cross country one day, and you came back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We ever went to another?
I know we never.
That was it.
I know. Every now and then, I get maybe that's why I struggle with show jumping now is because I didn't. I should probably focus more on show jumping. Maybe I should have spent a few more years doing that. But no. So then, okay. So through high school, and you, I feel like you guys always encouraged me to work for lessons. But you, I mean, thinking back now, like. I think back in high school, I felt like probably wasn't as maybe grateful. Like thinking back now about all like the A shows that we went to and you buying me all my tack and y'all were probably more supportive than, you know, I probably took for granted.
I think you and I both took Randy for granted. Because my husband was very, very money conscious, and he always knew exactly what it cost. I think you and I sort of rounded the figures.
Yeah, down. I'm like, well, there's the entry fee, and that's it. You know, and you're just like, no, horses are always a lot more than that. And yeah, we go there and forget like tack and have to buy nice things, but that's okay. Okay, so then, now he's like more involved. So you guys, because my parents breed Connemaras, and y'all have been breeding. I think you had your first foal when I was in high school, so that's been over 10 years. I would think 2016.
We bought our first Connemara 15 years.
2006, 2005, right? So then you've become, you know, kind. I'm not going to say famous breeders of Connemara, but in the States, there aren't, you know, it's a growing breed society. So what made you guys, so now my parents breed Connemaras, but how do you think you became involved in? With our Connemara ponies.
I think we were looking for something that, first of all, would carry you around that was safe. And we bought our first Connemara crossed and loved him. And it was had the opportunity to buy two Connemara mares. And I think the Lord was just in it the whole time, because it seemed like we grew, and everything that we bought, we just loved so much. And everything that they did, it seemed like it just was more than we expected. And so I think we
I feel like you're skipping like what, like the best story, like of your like horse riding life. So I feel like you're almost like discounting how that I was bit by the horse bug more than you. Because my parents actually met their first Connemara on their honeymoon, right? So they were on a road trip. So my mom and my stepdad, what year did you get married? 2005. They go on their road trip. Did y'all end in D.C.? I can't remember. But we're driving through West Virginia, talking about horses, because what else is there to talk about? And weren't you guys at a restaurant and someone like tells you that there's a horse farm? And so you guys on your honeymoon, you never heard of Connemaras, go and visit a breeder who had Connemara. And then we came back a few weeks later and went horse shopping. Mm-hmm. And the funny part, and think about how much we didn't know then. Didn't we go and try? I was 13.
There was another horse I really liked. I wanted it. We wound up buying something else, which I'm glad we did.
I know.
I think horses were always in the back of my mind.
Something I've kind of mentioned earlier too is that how we kind of learned as we went. And, you know, because I taught like lessons here. I had one student here. I didn't know anything, but it was a way for me to make some extra funds. And then even in college, I feel like I started teaching before probably I knew a lot about what I was doing. But I think we tried like a 3-year-old and called my coach Jen then. And we're like, well, we tried this 3-year-old and I fell off. But then there's this horse that I think we like have been jumping around, and he's really nice, but we don't know which one we want. Generally, did not bring home the 3-year-old. And we didn't. We brought home Bubba. He was my Irish sport horse. And he was half Connemara, half Irish draft thoroughbred. So your very typical big Irish sport horse is gray. And I ran him through training. And then he went on to Pony Clubber out in California when I was in high school. And so I think that was a huge turning point too for us, because I'd had kind of my high school horse, and then we were kind of started. I feel like when I graduated, it was kind of like starting over again, because I took one of your ponies and then I vented him through. I think we attempted training, but again, like at that point, I just kind of I had a great horse that let me make a lot of mistakes, and then kind of coming along and trying to train my own before I knew what I was doing. It was like really hard. So I feel like it was almost like not starting over again.
Once, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we were like the tip very like, oh, we always kind of like, it's trial and error for us.
I think that's one good thing about the Connemaras. And very steady and very calm. And they knew our heart before they knew really what we were asking them to do. And then when they figured out, they were very willing
We got very lucky with like those things. And thinking about now, like some of the things I do with my horse, like ice, like with my thoroughbred, I ice after every single jump school. I like am very particular about what footing. And we just rode our horses like all day. You know, I mean, obviously we knew, like we did our own, like, I feel like nutrition wise and care wise, we gave the best care we had, but we'd ride them all day long. Mm-hmm. And Bubba was always sound. He vetted sound at like 18.
That's one thing about farmers is their hooves are great. And he had great feet. We've always had good farriers. They kept their feet trimmed.
So now my parents have their own Connemara stallion. How many horses do you have? I don't even know how many horses they have.
13 in all. 5 babies. The rest are breed mares, and then Louis, our stallion.
Right. And Louis, 6. How many babies does Louis have on the ground?
7.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Well, 2 on the way. I guess you could say 5, 2 on the way.
Right. And so you have your own Connemara stallion. And what has that been like, having your own stallion now?
He is a dream come true. Louis to me is everything I thought or hoped he would be and more. He's so gentle and so easygoing. I think when we sent him to you to train, you were riding with a halter.
And oh my gosh, yeah.
The barn would have to shake the gate for him to get up and come.
I know.
He's just easygoing, but he does have he's got an engine.
Yeah.
When he needed, he's got it. He stamps his babies with the same,
And what's the oldest baby that you have now?
Indy will be 3 this spring.
Right.
In July.
So stuff really new. Like we don't have any babies that have been started under our saddle. So what we try to do, so my parents have a farm north of Birmingham, and then I'm in Atlanta, so it's about 2.5 hours away. So usually, like periodically, as they have babies to start, or with Louie, they'll send him to me for a month or two at a time, and either I'll start them and send them back, or we try to sell them while we're in Noonan, begging them to let me take little Louie for a few more months over the winter. But we have a few other babies that they're starting right now. And so I did that through college as well. Like, so it was a little bit cheaper when I was in Auburn, because board prices were probably half of what they are. I feel like that really helped me a lot as a writer, you guys sending me the babies. And I got a lot of experience starting the babies, and now I've kind of started them for other people. So now you're on the board of governors. Are you still on the board of governors?
I think I go off this year.
Yeah. And so what is that? What does that mean that you're on the board of governors? What do you do as?
I just basically listen to the other breeders and owners in our area and any concerns that they might have or anything. We've really tried to make our registry more user-friendly and, inform people about the registry and registering their Connemaras. And there's several awards, that are out there for Connemara breeders, and we try to make them aware of that. But I think it's the Connemara as a whole, the association as a whole is amazing. I think there's a lot of really brilliant breeders out there that have taken the bloodlines and have come up with some great crosses, and there's some phenomenal ponies out there doing some things that horses, would have a hard time doing.
Yeah, right. Well, you've added the new registry, the Connemara Sport Horse.
Right.
And maybe you can explain a little bit about what the Connemara Sport Horse is.
It just gives an opportunity for somebody who has a quarter bred Connemara to register it. And before we would just take purebreds and half breds.
Right. So a lot of the Connemaras are crossbred with a thoroughbred. And you'll see a lot of, so Allie Saxton on Sparrow's Neo, she has a Connemara thoroughbred that she ran at Rolex. It's a really popular cross because you get a little bit of a bigger horse. And obviously with the thoroughbred, have a little bit more speed and they can incorporate the gallop, which has been a perfect for eventing and fox hunting. So that has, the registry has really opened up. Like, it's been good marketing for the Connemara because there's it includes even more horses in the registry. And then, of course, now you have some ponies of your own. You have Zoo and Bunny. They're both purebred Connemaras. And hopefully this year I'm going to get you to your first show on one of them. So we've gone down some, what are they called? With the hunter paces.
Yeah, some hunter paces.
But I'm threatening mom that I'm just going to sign her up for a show, and then she has to be just get ready. So mom's also school. I feel like you had so many things on your resume that you've done. So you're also a school teacher. So what's it like being, having to work and have your horses and manage the farm? Would you have Randy now? My stepdad, he's retired. So he's been able to help you more on the farm, but do you ever feel like, I feel like I'm usually calling you when I'm on my way to work and you're like, oh, I'm going to go feed now. It's like dark.
I think the ponies are my therapy. I think even after a rough day, you can always go out and, maybe just clatter buckets and noses in, searching for that last little bit of grain or walking out, even if it's muddy. It's just, there's something about being outside with the ponies. It just is therapeutic. It just makes whatever happened at school or at work or, you know, the news just kind of melt away. And when I come back, I'm always refreshed and ready for, you know, whatever comes next.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, though, with daylight change, same as that, it's tougher because it gets darker.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I could, you know, my riding schedule, it's not like I'd like to ride more. I'd like to ride every day or at least every other day. With two ponies, it would be easy to ride every day. And I feel like sometimes things just take precedence over that.
Yeah.
And I need to carve out more time for them and me.
Well, that's hard. I mean, I feel like by the time you get home from work, like now, so on Central Time, it gets dark at 5 o'clock. So you get home, I mean, school lasts till 3, and then you're getting home at 4 on like a, do you ever get home by 4?
Usually be about right at 4.
Yeah. So then, I mean, then you have an hour to get, I mean, that, and that's still booking it, you know, to actually tack up, get ready, and get on horse. And right now it's just so wet and gross. So we just had like a huge rainstorm, and my parents' farm, so we're kind of surrounded by, it's kind of in a valley. So I do feel like when it rains, it's wet here for like a while, which is good for the ground. And maybe that's why my horses stayed sounder, because our ground was a lot softer. Anyways,
I think it is worth a commitment. I can't blame the ground. I can't blame anything but just making it a commitment to ride. I think I've gotten a commitment to feeding and taking care of them, watching them and looking after them. I need to just go ahead and pull one out and say, hey, it's time to put the saddle on your back and let's go for a ride.
Yeah.
Randy's very helpful with getting things done this way. Most of the time when I get home, he's already fed, so I can't.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to sign you up for a show. And then you're just going to have to get, it's hard though, because it's not like you have a coach. I'd love to be able to help you more. Yeah, I bought my mom Jane Savoy's dressage base. I can't remember. It's like dressage 101. But you can't learn everything from even reading in a book. I wish there was a coach here that you could even trailer to that could help you with dressage. That's completely new discipline. And it's one thing to watch lessons. We'll get there. You have plenty of time. okay, last topic. And then, because we've already kind of gone over our time we were going to spend. I kind of wanted to talk about, see myself, topic, the podcast is called Clear Combi. And, you know, as a mother of a rider who's in the sport of eventing, and there's been obviously recent deaths in this, obviously it's kind of an uncomfortable topic. You know, both rider and horse deaths were there. Anything, you know, with when I decided to go this route that you wish maybe I'd done differently or that, you know, are still concerns for you? Because obviously I think, which as like any mother, you get nervous, but you're still like at all the horse shows and you're always there when I'm, or the ones that you can come to, you're always at the finish line and like with me, you know, and I haven't gotten hurt. I feel like I've fallen off competing once with Fry that one time. But other than that, I don't think we've ever had any bad accidents.
I think it's just got to be in God's hands. I think I'm always, I do cover. I think I do, you know, I feel like I have to be there. If I can't be there, I feel like I'm there even when I'm not, I'm calling you and checking on you. I've got the scores, open scores. So that you've come across the finish line. I always have someone there at the show that can either tell me or let me know that everything's okay. You know, I think you and your brother both are hardcore athletes. I think both of you have always had a insatiable appetite for more. And so I've had to, at our early, I mean, this has been going on your whole life. And Hunter's now 20, so both of you are burning the candles at both ends. I've gotten used to it. Do I worry? Yes. Do I love it? Yes. It makes you happy. It's something you enjoy. I can't imagine you doing anything else, though if you did, I'll go with that too, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm sank with the venting for a little while. So, and you've gotten involved too as a, like we need, I should have written down before, like all the, because you're also a volunteer. She's a volunteer. She's a horse mom, horse owner, a landowner, a board of directors. She's ridden Western, ridden English. She's kind of done it all. But is there anything else you'd like to share about your horse mom knowledge or as a rider that you wish, I don't know. I have a lot of young riders that listen to my podcast.
I think it's been really good for our relationship. I think as a, you know, you and I have never had the friend route. We've always been mother daughter.
But we spend so much, especially driving to horse shows. Like we spend a lot of time.
But I think it's bonded us in a different way. I think we've done stuff together and, you know, enjoyed things together. I think you and I, though very different, I think we appreciate each other, you know, a lot. And it's been, I would tell any mom, if you want to spend time with your children, you know, do what they like to do and go with them.
Yeah.
You know, send them off with a cell phone. And
yeah. Well, I think that, because we've already gone over, this has been the longest podcast I've ever recorded.
You're going to delete a lot of this.
I know. Well, I know, and I've got to add my ad in the middle. But okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. Maybe I'll have Mom on again. So definitely send me any questions that you might have for her. But we are about to go clean the barn, and I've got to work and do 100 other things and play with our barn dogs. But I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you for listening. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoy it. I want to thank one of my amazing sponsors, Pureform Equine, which creates Chock Full of Chia. You've seen me brag about this brand on Instagram, Facebook, social media. You'll see me at horse shows. It is one of my favorite nutritional biscuits that I feed my horses. You can check them out at pureformequine.com. And now on Instagram, you can follow them at Pure Form Equine as well. They,